Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of our study of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, titled, The Believer's Inheritance.
Jesus said, I'm going to be on, you're going to be kind of on your own here. You're going to take care of yourself. And so that's why he taught that. He didn't teach against possessions. This idea today of like anti-capitalism, anti-possessions for Christians, it's not Bible. But what he did say is, you should possess those things. But those things, now I'm paraphrasing, and this is not new to me, I've heard this before, but those things should not possess you. See? So you got a nice car, got a nice house, got nice clothes and all those things. I like being comfortable. Heating and air conditioning. You need it. Some days you need them both in Ohio. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. What if something happens and you don't have those things? What happens to some people is they totally quit on God. They just throw Him to the side. Because why? Because He was nothing to them but a genie in a bottle. Excuse me. He was, rub the genie. Poof. Ah, there's my God. I need something. Thank you. You know, that's their God. Well, if that's the kind of God you're, it's a figment of your imagination.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with asking. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I'd like to have a nice house. I'd like to have a nice car. You know, I'd like to have nice clothes. I'd like to have heat and air conditioning. I'd like to have those things. And listen, if you're not already, you should thank Him for those things every day. Don't take them for granted. Because there's all kinds of people around the world, including Christians, that don't have those things.
Yeah.
That's why we're trying to help the Bardwells over in Ukraine. You know, if it wasn't for the support that we send there, they wouldn't have, and they don't. They go without a lot of these things. I mean, he gets excited when he gets, like, Tabasco sauce from America, you know. That wouldn't make us excited because we can just go down the street and buy it right now if we want it.
Yeah.
And so don't take these things for granted. But what happens if they all disappear? Are you going to quit on God? Oh, poor me. Well, if your inheritance, your focus is on what's down here instead of what's up there. Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That means that the real good stuff you're not going to see right now.
Yeah.
You think God's blessing you now? And don't say He's not, because He is.
Yeah.
But you ain't seen nothing yet.
Amen.
You start to look to heaven. I'm just talking perspective here and having things in the right priority. And you start to look to heaven as the real treasure, the real reward. Then it helps you deal with whatever losses you have down here. I certainly don't want to see my house burn down. I don't want to lose everything. But I'm going to tell you, Jenny's got the right attitude. Anytime something like that happens, it's all going to burn. She doesn't sound like that, but that's what she says. It's all going to burn. Amen, that's right. And it says what about those who have this inheritance? Read verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, you are positionally saved, but the reality of what is coming is still yet future. You have the down payment, the earnest of the Holy Spirit in you, but that's just a taste of what's to come. We have fellowship with the family of God, like we're doing right now, but this is just a taste of what's to come. Everything you're experiencing right now, even your fellowship with God in that book, is a taste of what it's going to be like when you are in the presence of the Word of God.
Amen.
Everything that you have experienced as a Christian, I don't care what it was like. I remember people like to talk about baptism, and I do too. Baptism can be a great experience. It's just a taste of what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what it is. And we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And that's the dispensation of the fullness of times, just as we read in the last couple of studies. Now, if you don't believe in inheritance for believers, you just don't believe the Bible. And a lot of Christians don't really believe this. They don't really believe in what's about to happen when we go to heaven. They choose to just focus on the here and now and not have any practical, real belief in what's to come. And they just simply don't believe the Bible.
If you focus on now, though, you have nothing to look forward to.
Amen. That's why people don't have anything to look forward to. That's why people falter and fail in their relationship with the Lord.
They don't know how to look forward.
Yeah. That's the difference between someone who's carnal and someone who's spiritual. Someone who is living their own attitude, their own, everything's their opinion compared to the Spirit-filled truth of the Word of God. And it says in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained inheritance, and then it says, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. See, we believe God is sovereign. We don't believe the Calvinist version of that.
Amen.
See? But we believe that God is sovereign.
Amen.
And He has planned this whole thing. So we don't have a God who's just a divine coder, a divine IT specialist who's coded and programmed everybody. And some of you are going to go to heaven, but most of you are going to hell, and God's sat up there and DNA'd everything, however, whatever level that's supposed to have taken place. But we also don't have a God who's not in control.
That's right.
We have a God who is sovereign. God is in control. This thing's going to work out just according, as it says, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. But there's His... We don't know how to really explain this, but God's working things.
Amen.
He didn't just program it and it's happening like a deistic version of God. But it doesn't matter what choices you make, you're not going to thwart the plan of God.
Amen.
You can choose not to be a part of His plan and reject Jesus Christ and go to hell. God didn't want that. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you can choose to do so, but it will not change His plan. It's the beauty of it. God doesn't really need me. God will do this thing without me. And yet He's invited you to have a part in it. You can sit and glide through life and accomplish nothing for the Lord if you want. But when you stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to hate yourself. That's, again, why the Bible doesn't say all tears are wiped away until after the great white throne.
Amen. Amen.
Because I believe there's going to be a lot of regret when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ and see the pathetic way you wasted all those years God gave you.
Yeah.
Chasing whatever it was other than the will of God.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
That's just a hard truth. Don't get mad at me for telling you that. I love you enough to tell you the truth. And by the way, I have to preach that to myself.
Yeah, amen.
I'm not up here, yes, I have arrived. And so I'd like to tell the rest of you how to be more like me. That's not what I'm saying. But I would like to think I'm a pretty good example to my family.
Amen.
I try to be a pretty good example in the home.
Amen.
Friends, loved ones. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do. You're not the model, but you should be a pretty good example to those around you.
Amen.
That's what I'm... Once again, the Bible doctrine of predestination is not about being saved. It is about God's will for the saved. Did you get that?
Amen.
Roundabout way, that's where I was going. It's about God's will for the saved. And I love that. And, because here's again, people who are Calvinists, they use predestination as some kind of big... It's like cults. Cults take something and they pound it and pound it and pound it. And you take, it's a false version of that doctrine and they pound it. And then you got the people who are not Calvinists and they don't even, I don't believe in predestination. Like, well, how can you not believe in predestination? The Bible says there's predestination.
Yeah.
The thing isn't to throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's to take what the Bible says about predestination, throw out the bathwater. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, my mom probably hate me for telling you this, but when she was a kid, they had like six kids. What did she say? No, one, two, three, four. She had four. My dad had six in his family. Four girls. And this is the way they did it back then. They'd get a big tub of water, and they'd start oldest to the youngest. And they didn't change the water. Kids are dirty, you know that? No offense back there, Joshua. Kids are dirty. I mean, you know. So you dip one of those kids in, now that water turns, you know, brown and gooey looking. And then you got soap and all that. And by the time my mom get in there, she's the youngest. I was like, you're probably dirtier when you came out than you were when you went in. You know? Sometimes you got to throw out the bathwater. And that's what's happening too much in Christianity today, is they're not willing to throw out the bathwater. And so what we got is a mess. Huh? Yeah, that's the bathwater there to throw out. And church business meetings, you know. And I'll bring this to order and I'll have a motion and I'll have a second. I'll gather and then they have a discussion. I motion we adjourn. Shut up, we're not done. You know that kind of thing? I just summarized Baptist business meetings I've been in. That's a real. Yeah. Ain't no, where do you find Robert's Rules of Order in that Bible? It's like the 67th book of the Bible in some churches is Robert's Rules.
Yeah.
Like I was trying to say, Greg, it sounds like Washington today.
Well, that's what, sadly, it does. It mimics what you see in that mess in Washington and Columbus, Ohio. Now, we're going to close this up. I want to learn some things about this inheritance. This inheritance is earned and stored up in heaven.
Amen.
You got this nonsense. Again, taking things and perverting. We're saved by grace. Amen? You didn't do anything to earn it.
Amen.
Your reward is earned.
Amen.
If you think everybody's, you know, here's what they do. They make God a communist. God's going to reward everybody equally. Because we want it to be fair. And we don't want anybody to get their feelings hurt. So everybody gets a trophy for participation. That's the way they teach heaven now. We're all going to stand up there and get a participation trophy. Yeah, I got news for you. You're going to be rewarded based on your performance.
Amen.
Does that have anything to do with being saved? Yes, you'll be in heaven. And if you think that's all that should matter to you, shame on you. That's all I can say. Because that's not all. It's just not fire insurance we're after, folks.
Amen.
I'm not going to burn in hell. I'm happy. Well, I'm happy about that too. But I also don't want to see all my works go poof with every Christian who ever lived looking at Greg Miller as I watch my works go poof in smoke. I don't want that. I want rewards. What are you going to do? Get busy with the right attitude. That really is the bottom line as a Christian. Not just get busy, because if you're getting busy so that everybody can talk about how wonderful you are, that's the wrong attitude. Because it's not about you. That's why I don't stand up here and try to brag about how many times I've done this, how many people I've led to the Lord 50,000 people, if I may say so. We get to heaven, I think the Lord's building a whole section just for my converts.
Nice.
Going to be a Greg Miller wing up in heaven. Don't you wish he's me?
Yeah.
That's how it's done. And then everybody looks at the great soul winner. Oh, if I could just touch the bottom of his tie. Oh, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. Why? You want, we're going to get the reason isn't to glorify you.
Amen.
But you should want to build an inheritance. What Jesus said in Matthew 6:20, the first part of the verse says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. A lot of preachers have preached a message called the Bank of Heaven. You ever heard of a message like that? Bank of Heaven? Yeah, you're storing up treasures in heaven. There is a bank in heaven. There is. But But see, that's a bad thing because down here they're all corrupt. The banks, you know, you don't like to think about banks in heaven. But to bank means to store up. That's what the word means. And there's this heavenly bank. And our treasures in heaven are not subject to decay. You're not going to have to worry about the Great Depression, you know, and losing everything overnight. It's also not subject to the second law of thermodynamics.
Amen.
You know, you buy things. Charlie and I have talked about how, you know, they talk about somebody on the news who gets in trouble. Like, they had 14 guns in their house. They must have been in a militia ready to take over the government. That's how they report it like that all the time.
Yeah.
No, man. Most of these people have 14 guns because all those guns are worth hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars. And if they ever need some money, they sell one. It's an investment. There are people who own art and they don't even like art. Why do they own it? Because if they ever need it, you know, 20 grand, they're going to sell this thing. I've never met anybody had anything more expensive than that. I think if it gets up too high, they don't even put it in their house. They put it in storage safety somewhere. You know, why? It's an investment.
Amen.
See? And our treasures are kind of like that. Because I got news for you. There are things that some people put money into that you're really, it's a gamble. It's like, you know, I'm a Baptist. I don't gamble. I just play the stock market. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. That's a gamble.
Amen.
You are taking, now I'm not preaching against having stocks. I'm just saying that's not a sure investment.
Amen.
It's a bet. See the difference?
Yeah.
This is no bet. This isn't a gamble. This isn't the stock market. So whatever you're storing in heaven, you're going to be sure of a return.
Amen.
That's why it says, but lay up your treasures, let me say it again, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal.
Amen.
And that's more real than whatever you have some diamonds, you have some gold coins, you have whatever you have in your house. You got them locked away and hidden because you don't want to. This treasure is more real than that.
Amen.
And all I'm telling you, some of you, I'm afraid, might not have that perspective. That's the Spirit-filled perspective. If you get full of the Holy Spirit, full of His Word, you see the world differently. So wait, you take a pair of glasses. I take these off. You know what you all look like? Fuzzballs. Smile, Charlie. Smile. The only thing I can see is his teeth right now. Then I take these glasses and I put them on. Oh, like looking at angels. Yeah. Wait a minute. What? Who said I shouldn't lie in church? Who said that? Yeah, that's true. Mr. Technicality over there. That's what happens. This is a Christian without his glasses on. This is a Christian going through life. Put me behind the wheel of a car, and the world is in trouble. That's a Christian. That's the typical Christian today. The typical Christian needs glasses. But he's driving without his glasses. He's trying to write. He's trying to recognize people. He's going through life and everything's just fuzzy. Then you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And you start to read the Word. And all of a sudden things come in focus. And you're no longer running people off the road. Or in some cases, running them on the road off the sidewalk. You are seeing clearly now. And that's what some of you this morning, some of those listening, however you're hearing this message at what time, some of you may need to put some glasses on. Start to see the world in the way God intended us to see it. And then you'll start to think more tangibly about the treasures in heaven. You start to think the way you ought to think. It's real.
It is.
It's real. It's worth your investment. It's worth your time. Your attitude about treasure also reveals the condition of your heart before God.
Yep.
For where your treasure... Read that with me. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. People who are all about this world, That's where their heart is.
Yeah.
People who are all about treasures in heaven, I just want to see Jesus. I just want to be with Jesus. I can't wait to be with Jesus. I like to talk about the rapture because it means I'm going to be with Jesus.
Amen.
I like to talk about heaven. I like to talk about the millennium. He's going to be here with us on earth, seated on a throne right there in front of us.
Amen.
And that's the most important part of our inheritance. Just being with Jesus. Just amazing. So I just want to ask you, you got your mind on earthly treasure? If so, your heart is not right with God.
Amen.
Don't take that as an insult, because I don't know anybody in this room right now. I do not know your heart.
Yeah.
I am not preaching at anybody right now. I don't know your heart. Some of you may have me real fooled. Some of you, I may think, wow, they're on fire for the Lord. And you may not be. Some of you, I may think, oh boy, you know. Whew. I'm trying not to look at anybody right now. And then you go out that door and you're living for the Lord. I don't know. I have no idea. I knew a guy who worked. He was a workaholic. Man, that guy was a witness. I mean, he worked way too much, in my opinion. Chris back there, you're preaching to me, ain't you? No. No, you're here. But you work hard. But I believe Chris is a witness. And this guy that I knew, he worked like you wouldn't believe, but he was a witness. And I believe there's going to be a lot of people in heaven because of that guy. He didn't have a ministry. He wasn't on TV or radio. But his heart was right. This describes the modern Laodicean form of evangelicalism today. This state of the church at large today is just all about the here and now. And it tells you there's something wrong with the heart.
Amen.
From the top down. Got your mind on heavenly treasure? Your heart is right with God.
Amen.
It's that simple. It is by embracing this biblical truth we can face hardship and trial in this life.
Yeah. Amen.
And I know Brother John and I talked about earlier, but you know, when things come at you, things that are difficult, I'm going to tell you, my heart goes out. And I don't even use this as an example in my message a lot, because I don't like to be a constant, you know, crying, flubbering, you know. But I want to tell you something. When I see these people battling cancer, some of these people, these ladies with the, you know, the cancers and things that we're praying for, and got Sister Leeway over there in the Philippines with cervical cancer, and she's worried about everybody else, you know. And it just breaks your heart. And there's what happens when, you know, you have men who have invested their time, their life in a job so they could retire and enjoy their family, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Sometimes just overnight, it's gone. What gets you through that? My dad was an example to me in that area. You know, he worked hard. He did what he needed to do, and they just gave him the axe. He finds himself approaching 60 years of age. And for a long time, couldn't find a job. It looked like he was going to have to work and probably never retire. And that's hard for a man, you know.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, it just is. And my dad just stayed the course. He didn't turn on God. He didn't go in rebellion. He just stayed the course, trusted God. There were times where he said, I don't know what's going to happen, Greg. I don't know. But I'm just going to keep doing what I need to do. Keep going. And God worked it out.
Amen.
And he is retired. And he is, you know, enjoying his grandchildren and all that. That's you've got to have the right perspective, folks, because the trial's coming.
Yeah.
I don't wish any of those things on anybody, but it's life. The trial's coming. And then, you know, some of you get married, you start having kids. All you did was multiply the possibilities of trial.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the spouse, you just multiplied it by two. The children, times three, times four, and however many you have. There's going to be some trials. So what do? Have the right perspective.
Amen.
Before the trial comes. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We're just so thankful for this truth. We know it's true. And we're not just philosophizing. We're not just trying to think things through on our own and just using human reasoning and working our way through these problems and all the nonsense that the world is stuck with trying to get through life with. We have an authoritative word from God Almighty.
Amen.
We have the author of the book, the Holy Spirit, guiding us, helping us to understand and apply this word. We are so blessed. That's why we want to preach the gospel to the lost. We want them to experience not only the knowledge of eternal salvation, knowing where they're going when they die, but being able to live in a relationship with God the Father and to experience the love of a Heavenly Father provided through the sacrifice, willingly, the willing sacrifice of His own Son, who conquered sin and death, rose victorious from the grave, ascended to heaven, promising that He's gone to prepare a place for us where we can store up treasure, an inheritance that will not corrupt or fade away, and that He will return to receive us unto Himself, that where He is, we may be also. All praise, honor, and glory goes to Jesus. In His name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
No sorrow there.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.